Well, it's good to be back in the Lord's house after being gone a couple of weeks. I'm feeling much better after my surgery. I'm very thankful to the Lord for that and for His goodness to me. And this morning, as you can see on the screen above me and behind me, we're going to look this morning at the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Our text this morning is going to be out of Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. Again, before we look into the scriptures together this morning, let's bow and ask the Lord for His help. Father, we ask this morning that You would be pleased to help us as we come to open up Your word. Father, as our brother has prayed, there are many things that could be a distraction to us this morning from hearing Your word, that could be a distraction from me faithfully teaching and preaching Your word. We ask that You'd remove those distractions, that You'd help us to set them all aside, and that You would help us this morning to focus upon the truth of Your word. Use the preaching, we ask and pray, to encourage Your people, to strengthen them to be better servants of Yours, to love You more. And we ask as well that the preaching would bring glory to Your name, the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen. The goodness of God. Well, as I was contemplating on preaching, actually, I wasn't planning. Well, let me back up. I was planning, then I wasn't planning, and now I ended up preaching this morning through a series of different things that happened. And as I began to prepare for this a few weeks ago, I had two or three things I was thinking of preaching on, and it was this always kept coming back. This kept coming back to the top of the list. The goodness of God, the goodness of God. And I would set that as, oh, I don't know if I want to. Then look at two or three other things, and then we'd be back to this again. The goodness of God. I thought, well, why should I preach on the goodness of God? What are some good reasons to preach on the goodness of God? Why should we look at it this morning? Why bother? I mean, it's something we're aware of. We know, why bother? Well, as I meditated on that and contemplated that, I came up with four reasons, which I hope makes sense this morning as to why we should look at the goodness of God. And those reasons hopefully will give us reason this morning to see what God's Word has to say about it. First of all, as I was thinking about this, I thought one tendency we have as Reformed Christians sometimes, rightfully so, is to emphasize the holiness of God, even as we sung this morning, and reverence for His name, do we not? Isn't that something that we hold very highly and desire to do, is to worship God, to see Him in His holiness and His righteousness and His justice, to see all those things clearly and plainly? Yet what happens sometimes in our zeal to do that, we can kind of tip the scale too far. In our desire to see God in His holiness and His righteousness, His justice, we can begin to become a little imbalanced. Maybe even begin to see God, as we emphasize those things, as maybe a little bit harsh. So I thought maybe that would be one reason that would be good for us this morning to look at that. Secondly, as many of you know, in our day, there are some dear brethren who have a tendency to look at God and to say, okay, the God of the Old Testament, He was a God of wrath and anger. The God of the New Testament, He's a God of love. As we're going to see this morning, there's a problem with that. It doesn't quite work out that way. Not at all. The God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are the same. And they're exactly the same. And we'll see that this morning, as we've said. Thirdly, as I was thinking about this also, I thought another thing sometimes we have a tendency to do, if we know our Bibles well at all, is we know about a lot of individual events that took place in Scripture, that sometimes if we're not, again, thinking in a biblical way, in a balanced way, can kind of leave us with the impression that God is a God of wrath and that He's harsh. For instance, the flood. God wiped out all mankind except for one family. Then, what, 10 chapters later? Sodom and Gomorrah. God wipes out 2 large cities because of their wickedness. A little while later, in the Old Testament, we see the incident of Aaron's 2 oldest sons. What happened to them? They worshiped God in a way He did not command, and God took their lives just like that. Switch to the New Testament. What about Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira? They lied to the Holy Spirit, and what happened? God took their lives in an instant. Boom, they were dead. So we easy for us in looking at those things. Is God a God of, is He harsh? Is God, do I need to be careful about every little thing I do? Because if I do just one wrong thing, we can sometimes begin to think that way. And sometimes not even realizing we're thinking that way and acting that way. And then lastly, the 4th reason this morning I thought would be good for us to look at this is because of what's going on right now in our land. We've got COVID-19, something that our country hasn't seen in 100 years, anything like this, that's got everybody up in arms and even the evil one trying to use to divide the church with, as we all see it from different perspectives. The political unrest that's going on in our country, probably more so than we've seen in quite some time. All those things happening, and it's easy for us to lose sight of the goodness of God. And yet, as we're going to see this morning, hopefully, that's something that we need to keep in the forefront of our minds. That what David says here in Psalm 145 is not just some little truth that's tucked away somewhere in one of the Psalms where unless you really do a lot of digging, you're not going to see it. No, that's not true. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And what I'd like to do this morning is just be very simple, look at this in a very, I don't know what word to say, but a very easy way this morning as we look at it and break it down in just 2 sections. One, we're just going to look, we'll look at the verse itself. We'll take some very simple definitions and we'll do a simple exposition of the verse. Then what I'm going to spend the bulk of the time on this morning, I'd like us to look at some application of the truth this morning. Now, first of all, the exposition. And what I'd like to do before I actually get into the verse itself is I want you to see in Scripture, as I mentioned a moment ago, that this is not a unique truth or some little truth that's tucked aside. So hang with me a minute as we look at the Old Testament and New Testament to see what the Bible has to say about the goodness of God. The first time this concept really appears is in these words, at least, is in Exodus 34:6. Now, what's happening in Exodus 34 at the time is that the golden calf and that whole incident has taken place just 2 chapters before. Moses has come down. He's thrown the 2 tablets down, busted the 10 commandment tablets in pieces because of his anger at the sin of the people of Israel. And now we get into chapter 34. God is now writing the tablets out again. And Moses goes up on the mountain to get that second set of tablets. And this is what God has to say to Moses about himself. When Moses is up there on the mount, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. So the Lord himself tells us that he's abounding in loving kindness. In Numbers 14:18, here it's interesting. Here the spies have just come back. And the people say, we're not going in. We're not going in. And the Lord says, okay, Moses, that's enough. These people have just been stiff-necked since the day I brought them out of Egypt. I'm going to destroy them. And here's Moses' response. He comes to the Lord pleading with him not to destroy them, pleading the exact thing that God had told him earlier he was. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. And he goes on to plead his case to say, no, Lord, don't destroy Israel. You're gracious. You're compassionate. You're merciful. You're slow to anger. You're abundant in loving kindness. You don't do that. You don't pull the trigger quick. That's not the way you operate normally. You're not like that. And he goes on to argue that in the rest of Numbers 14. Nehemiah 9. Here now we have the people have come back in Nehemiah. They're going to confess their sin. And the Levites get up from before the people and they begin to remind the people of what great things God has done for them. And the Levites are talking about that and they go through the history and then they come to this at the end of verse 17 as they're summarizing all that God's done for them. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them. David wrote the psalm that we're looking at, 145, but that wasn't the first time David said this in the Psalms. In Psalm 86:15, he said, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. Then over in Psalm 103, one we may be a little more familiar with and we'll look at more in a few moments. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Joel chapter 2 in the prophets. And you remember this as Joel pleads with the people to repent after God has pled with the people to repent. And he said, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God. Why? For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and relenting evil. And then lastly, one that might be somewhat ironic in nature, Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Of all the places and of all the ways this is mentioned in Scripture, look at this. Here's Jonah. He's just finished preaching in Nineveh. We know he didn't want to go. And God had to chasten him severely to get him to go. He goes to preach. He's successful. People repent. And then he complains about it. And this is what he says. But it greatly displeased Jonah and became angry because the people had repented. He prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my own country? This is why I didn't want to go, because I knew if I went, you would grant repentance. And I didn't want those people to repent. Jonah, what's the matter with you? That's why you preach the gospel. Because we love people and we want them to repent. What's the matter with Jonah? And really, it's a wonder that God didn't deal with him more severely than he did. Jonah experienced the goodness of God. First, he got out of the fish and God gave him an opportunity to still go preach. And then he after he preaches, he complains about it. But and look there. Therefore, in order to forestall this, I ran to Tarsus because I didn't want to preach the gospel. Why? Because I knew you were gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning evil. I knew you'd convert those people. So I didn't want to go. God is, isn't that ironic? That Jonah didn't even want to go preach the gospel. He didn't want those people because he knew what God would do. He knew God was gracious and compassionate. He knew he would grant repentance. He knew that the gospel would be effective and God would make it so. Well, that's kind of what it looks like in the Old Testament. That's kind of like a quick overview. That doesn't look like a concept to me, or this doesn't look like a characteristic of God to me that's kind of just a little side, something on the side. There is a whole lot more that we could look at, but it at least gives us an idea of what? This is significant. The goodness of God is significant. It goes right there alongside of His holiness is His goodness. You can't have His holiness without His goodness. To do so is to misrepresent Him. Now, what about the New Testament? Well, why we don't see the wording the same in the New Testament, the concept is clearly there. Probably one of the more familiar verses that we know is when Christ was preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And when He said, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." What's Jesus talking about there? He's talking about the goodness of God. God is good. He's not a God that's harsh. He's not a God that's simply one that's always angry, looking for the first person that does something wrong so that He could carry out His wrath and His anger. That's not who God is. If that's who we think God is, we're sadly mistaken. My God's that one, not that way, and there's the God of the Bible. And we have to be careful, brethren, because it's really easy as we try to balance who God is and thinking of His righteousness, and we should. And David is no way saying God does not get angry. We know from Scripture He does. But what he is saying is, wait, by far that's not all who God is. By no stretch of the imagination. We continue in the New Testament. How about Romans 2:4? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Now, it would be easy for me just to preach a sermon on this right here. Because what is it that Paul says God most often uses to bring men to repentance? Is it His wrath? Is it His justice? Now, yes, it's involved, but is that really what? It's His kindness. It's His love. It's His mercy. Ephesians 2:6 and 7, very familiar verses to us. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of what? His grace in kindness. It was His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Titus 3:4 and 5. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So this concept, the goodness of God, is not something, again, that's kind of just a side note in the Bible. It's a major part of who God is. His goodness, His love, His kindness. Let's come back then to our verse. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding, or great in loving kindness. And I want to look at just a couple of words and just briefly go through them. You're familiar with these words. They're not words that you don't know at all. You've heard them many times from this pulpit. But again, just to remind us, first of all, let's look at this word merciful. You hear the word merciful, what do you think? What comes to your mind immediately when you hear that word merciful? Well, maybe a judge. Maybe a judge who doesn't carry out the full sentence that he could. And where instead of giving the person who has committed a crime the ultimate that the law will permit, he gives them less and shows mercy. Mercy, not giving someone what they deserve. Mercy, being lenient towards someone. Notice the second phrase there in this verse, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. Now, if I asked you to take part of the second phrase and attach it to the word merciful, what part of the second phrase would you choose? It's not a trick question either. I would choose slow to anger. Merciful and slow to anger go together. Very much so. God is merciful. How is He merciful? He's slow to anger. God doesn't get rid. But He said, but Pastor Matt, didn't you just go over a couple of instances? There are occasions where that does happen. I'm not saying it never happens, that God has to deal with something quickly, immediately. It's necessary for the glory of His name, but that's not how He deals most often. That would be like a father following his child around, just waiting for them to do something wrong, and on them, the minute they breathe the wrong way, the minute they move the wrong way, that's not who God is. He's very slow to anger. He's merciful. What about this word gracious? What about that? What does that mean? The Lord is gracious. Well, as we've often heard from the pulpit here, the word grace means to show unmerited favor to someone, to show kindness to someone. A kindness that they've not earned in any way. God is gracious. And you notice what it says. Well, let me back up there ahead of myself. First of all, what would we put gracious? What did I chose the word gracious to go with great and loving kindness. That gracious and great and loving kindness. And you notice what it says there. About that loving kindness, it's great. Great in loving kindness. God is great in loving kindness. So the word gracious means compassionate, showing kindness to someone that has not deserved or earned. So that's briefly an exposition of the verse. But what I want to spend much of our time this morning doing, brethren, is talking about the application of this verse. Because I think that's really what we can benefit from the most. Now, before I do that, I want to look at just a couple of other verses. If I've got this right, here we go. Okay, the Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. Now, as we talk about God being good, and as we apply that, first of all, I want to look at this kind of generally. As God, talking about men as a whole, And David, right after verse 8, goes on to say, as you see here, the Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord. Now, God is merciful to all men. As a matter of fact, we wouldn't even be here today if he wasn't. Not a one of us. This building would be empty if God was not merciful and gracious to all men. He is to all men. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, doesn't matter. God is gracious to you. He's kind to you. He's good to you. None of us deserve his kindness. Not one. And yet all men. Experience that goodness and that kindness. They experience it. As we saw a minute ago in Matthew 5, 44 and 45. What did Jesus say? He causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. Unconverted men, non-Christian people, they're wealthy. They're wealthy people. They're blessed. They're blessed in many, many ways. They're healthy. They're strong. All kinds of blessings God has poured out. And Christians the same. God has blessed and does bless men. Overall, he's merciful and kind. For us to get the idea, if God was what we sometimes get in our minds, brethren, a God of wrath and anger all the time, there'd be nothing left. There wouldn't be anything here. That's not who God is. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's gracious and kind to all men, without exception, Jesus said. Now, does he have to be? Nope. He doesn't have to be. God doesn't have to be gracious to anyone. There's nobody twisting his arm. There's no one that can earn anything, can do anything, can say anything that will merit God's mercy and grace. He doesn't have to be at all. But he is. Despite what men have done, despite sin, and how we ruined his perfect creation. And we have. We've ruined it. As Pastor Jeff so accurately said a few weeks ago, men like to complain and say, how can God exist? How can God exist and create such a world like it is? He didn't create it like it is. He created it perfect, without sin. And men sinned, and they messed it up. We men have messed it up, and yet God, what? Even in spite of all that, God is gracious and kind and merciful to us. All men, without exception. All men around the world experience an amount of God's grace and mercy in what he's done. And he does for them. Well, what I'd like to do this morning is spend more time. Oops, I went too far, too quick. Excuse me. What I'd like to do this morning is to talk more at length about the two types of men. How does God show his grace and his mercy? First of all, specifically, how does God show his grace and his mercy to those of you who are not Christians? Oh, you said you just mentioned some of the temporal blessings, Pastor Vincent, that God does give, and he does. He gives you a lot that you don't deserve. If you're not a Christian today, that doesn't mean God hasn't been kind to you. He's been very kind to you and very, very good to you. And specifically, that could be in many ways. Whether it's blessing you financially, whether it's blessing you with health, whether it's blessing you simply with life. Maybe it's for you young people putting you in Christian families where you have loving parents who care about you and want you to learn about God and His Word. He's been very good to you and very kind to you and very gracious to you. He's not given you what you deserve. And what is it that we deserve? Death. Paul said the wages of sin is death. And there's not a person sitting in this room who doesn't deserve death. Not a one of us, including myself, doesn't deserve death because of our sin. And yet God has been good to you to this point. Why have you not experienced that? Why do you continue to be blessed the way you are? Why does He continue to be good to you the way you are? Peter tells us why. Why does God continue to be good even though you're not a Christian and even though you haven't put your faith in Christ? Why does God continue to be good to you? The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness. And talking about His judgment, what Peter's talking about, being slow about, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You who aren't a Christian this morning, you who have not put your faith in Christ, why has God been so patient with you? And why is He being so good to you? Here's the reason right here. He wants you to repent. He wants you to see His goodness and to put your faith in Him and in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said one of the reasons that God just doesn't swiftly judge the earth and be done with it. Why is He so slow? Why is He being so patient? Because He wants you to come to repentance. Because He wants you to believe in Him and in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 2:4-6, or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience? Are you taking God's goodness to you lightly, for granted? Don't do that if you're not a Christian. Not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to their deeds. Yes, God is kind. He's good. He's great in His loving kindness. And His being great in that loving kindness right now is being shown to you, and that you're given an opportunity to repent and to put your faith in Christ. In Christ alone. And if you're not a Christian this morning, if you continue to snub your nose at God, or to keep Him at arm's length and say, nah, I really don't want anything to do with that, while God is slow to anger, His anger one day will be displayed. He will give to every man according to what he's done. And if you fail to repent and to put your faith in Christ, that's going to be you. And no one wants to see that. I don't want to see that. God doesn't want to see that. That's why He's being so slow. That's why He's keeping His hand in His pocket, as it were. It hasn't pulled it out to display His wrath, because He's giving you opportunity to repent. Paul says, don't take that lightly. Please don't take that lightly. Please don't look at that insignificantly. All those blessings and those good things that are happening to you and that have happened to you, those are from God. They're not from your own hand as much as you might like to think, but they're from God's hand. And He's been good to you. Don't shut Him out. Don't continue on in your unbelief. Put your faith in Christ and avoid God's wrath that He will one day show to all men who don't put their faith in Him. Well, what about us, brethren? What about God's people? How should we look at the goodness of God? How should that bear on us? Well, you say some of the obvious things, but let's take a look a minute. Review a couple of these verses here that we saw a moment ago. Whoops, I'm going the wrong way. I was going to say, wait a minute, that's not right. That's because I'm going the wrong way here. Let's go the right way. There we go. Psalm 103. You remember what David said as he was talking about this? The goodness of God, His being compassionate and gracious. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness to those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgression from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He is mindful that we are dust. God is gracious and compassionate to us as His people. And how? Not only has He been so, yes, temporally, as He is to all men, but to us as God's people, He's especially been good to us spiritually. As David said here, what has He done? He's forgiven our iniquities as far as the east is from the west. You know, if you're going opposite directions, you can never come together. East and west. As far as the east is from the west here, He's removed our transgressions from us. Now, something I'd like us to do, and I'm praying that God will do, brethren, is help us to get excited about that again. Because sometimes I think after we've been Christians, and I've been one for over 40 years, you kind of have a tendency to get a little dull. Do you see what David is saying here? We should be judged. Why did He choose? And shall I go off and point and call all your names? Why did He choose you? Why you? Why me? I don't even know why He chose me. I have no idea. Other than this, He loved me. And out of His kindness and mercy and grace, He saved me. Now, brethren, that's got to get us excited. If that doesn't get us excited, then some of us are going to be more like death warmed over. That should excite us, should it not? Should it not excite us that our sins are no more? They're gone. We're not going to be held accountable for them. That's it. Our faith is in Christ. They've been removed. They're gone. Paul said it again, Ephesians 2, 4 to 9. But God, being rich in mercy, and because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, we couldn't do a thing. We were dead people. Not a thing we could do. Nothing. We were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, he might do what? Show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone, so that no one may boast. And then again, the verse that we saw earlier from Titus. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of the deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to what? There it is again. His mercy. His mercy. The Lord is gracious and merciful. His mercy. He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, if anything should encourage us, brethren, it should be that. God, in his kindness, his grace, his mercy, has loved us. Not because I somehow did something or said something, but simply because he did. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And when we remember this, brethren, one of the things it should do to us is we remember the goodness of God to us as his people. Is even in times like this, when the world seems to be spinning out of control, we should be encouraged to remember, you know what? The Lord is good. He's good. But you say, look, he's good. He's very good. And he's been very good to us. And that should encourage us. And we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds as we see and experience the things that are all going on around us right now. And we could even go beyond the things that are going on in our country. In many of our families, we've got different things going on. Some of us are ill. Some of us have other issues going on. And you know what? God is good. God is still good. That does not change the fact that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. That doesn't change that. And the remembrance or the reminder of this should encourage us, even during these difficult times. Not only should it encourage us, but it should cause us to do what David did here in Psalm 86. What did he do? He gave thanks to God. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. Why? For your loving kindness towards me is great. We should be thankful always, brethren, for God's loving kindness, his goodness towards us as his people. Remembering his goodness should cause us to be thankful. Are we thankful? Let me put that out to all of us today. Are we thankful? And I'm not talking about saying the words. I'm talking about, are you thankful? But my circumstances, are you thankful? God has not changed. He is the same. Are you thankful? But this is it. No. Are you thankful? God is good. We need to be thankful, even in the hard times. There was a reason that James said, count it all joy when you end up in the trials. There was a reason for that. We need to be thankful for God's goodness to us and his loving kindness to us. And that needs to be evident to those around us, brethren. I'm not talking about just in our closets. I'm talking about at work. I'm talking about at home. I'm talking about at church. I'm talking about with our friends and with our neighbors. How many times, brethren, do you do this? And I'm need myself, I'm in the same boat, so I'm not pointing fingers. But do you ever tell your neighbors, yeah, God has been very good to me? And tell them why? Ever say that to them? Or the guy at work or the gal at work? Yeah, God's been very good. Somebody asks you how you're doing? God is good. And then you tell them why. Or do you keep that in your pocket because you're afraid somebody might find out I'm a Christian? Or that's not good. We can't do that. The goodness of God ought to be coming out of our mouths like you wouldn't believe. And that's where David goes to. That's where we go to next here. This knowing of the goodness of God should cause us to do what David goes on to talk about in Psalm 145. And your godly ones shall bless you. God's people should be talking about his goodness. They shall speak of your glory. Based on what? Based on his mercy and his kindness. Are we speaking about it? To make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all generations. The goodness of God should make us want to tell people about what great things God has done for us. Should it not? And sometimes, and again, I'm not an exception at all. Sometimes our tongues don't seem to want to cooperate, do they? They don't want to tell people how good God has been to us. Some of us can still remember when we were first converted and how excited we were and how encouraged we were. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, now that we're older and we've been Christians a while, somehow the edge sometimes gets rubbed off. And while even though when we're first converted, our zeal doesn't have a lot of knowledge to go with it, so sometimes it's a little unbalanced, yet it seems like it's easy when we get older to go the other way. But brethren, we need to ask God to help us to keep his goodness in the forefront of our minds, because when we do that, that will help us to tell people about who he is and what he's done for us. Because of his goodness, because of his kindness, because of his mercy. Lastly, this morning, how should we reflect God's goodness? Other than just speaking, as I just mentioned about him, how else should we reflect that? Well, if someone were to come up, or if I were to go to someone, let's put it this way, if I were to go to someone who knows you really well, and I were to say, what could you tell me about this person? Would one of the things that they would tell me be, well, that's a gracious, compassionate, merciful person. People don't talk like that very much. Well, that's too bad, isn't it? That's kind of sad. Because if we're God's people, and our God is truly merciful and compassionate and gracious, what should his people look like? Right. Exactly right, Caleb. The same. Merciful, gracious, compassionate. Can people point that out? Can the guy at work or the gal at work or your neighbor, would they say you're a gracious, kind, compassionate person? Or would they kind of not say that? What about the brethren? Would they say, oh, you're so-and-so, they're kind of harsh, you know, they're kind of... When we have a tendency to be harsh, brethren, it's kind of an indication we may have gotten our view of God out of balance. Because now we're starting to act like we think God is. No. God is not harsh. Yes, He will one day get angry and carry out His judgment on the world. Yes. But He is not harsh. He's slow to anger. Are we? Are we slow to anger? May God help us as His people to show that grace and mercy to those around us, that we might glorify Him and glorify our Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning that You are gracious and merciful. That, Father, You are slow to anger and great in loving kindness. We ask this morning that You would be pleased in Your mercy and in Your love to help us be like You. Grant us the ability to glorify You. We ask and pray in this way, in Jesus' name. Amen.